Hello and welcome to Our Site as we continue in our series, Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. And the vital question we want to answer today is, will all the saints persevere to the end? Does the Bible teach the perseverance of the saints? Does that mean, will all the saints persevere to the end? I do hope you have your Bible with you, or your device or that has your Bible on it, and that you'll be able to follow a number of scriptures as we just enjoy this time together, exploring the Word of God and what it has to say about this vital subject. Please turn in your Bible in the New Testament to Peter's second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 and the first 11 verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, the first 11 verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Will all the saints persevere to the end? Here's a vital question that can be framed in many ways. Does the Bible teach once saved, always saved? Or can a Christian lose his salvation? Does receiving the gift of eternal life mean that you can never lose that gift? Does being saved mean forever safe? What happens when a person who was once a believer abandons the faith? Is it possible for a true Christian to drift away from God and be eternally lost? What does it mean to fall from grace? What does it mean to make shipwreck of your faith? What does it mean to believe in vain? Truth is, we probably know of someone who once was an enthusiastic Christian, perhaps even a theologian or a minister, and is now no longer following the Lord. Do you know somebody like that? Sadly, I know several. So here's my vital question for today. Will all the saints persevere to the end? Is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints a hope so, or a certainty? And let's admit the truth without getting steamed up about it. There are many sincere Bible scholars who do not believe that all the saints will persevere to the end. So, first up, we need to understand what it means to be an authentic Christian. This is so important. For the world is full of nominal Christians, people who call themselves Christians, but they have never got further than religion. Sometimes they're called Christians because they're not Hindus or Buddhists or something else. They have a Christian religion, but no relationship with Christ. They've never repented of their sins. They've never put their trust in Christ alone. They've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. They have never been born again. We need to understand that a lot of Christian things can be done before regeneration, before being born again, as Jesus put it. And a lot of Christian things can be done without regeneration. The most marvelous Christian works can be done by people who have no personal relationship with Christ himself. That really gets scary, doesn't it? Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, had these very solemn words to say. If you have your Bible, you might like to turn to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The end of that sermon in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" What amazing words from Jesus. Jesus warns against the dreadful possibility of being deceived, of thinking that we're Christians, of thinking that we are safe, when actually we're not. The apostles warn against the dreadful possibility of false assurance. And so, next up, we need to understand the languages of salvation, as Victor Culligan puts it, the languages of salvation that the Bible uses. We've mentioned regeneration. This is the language of the labor ward. Those who believe in Jesus are born again, born of the Holy Spirit into the family of God. That's a very big deal. Then the Christian is one who has been justified by faith in Christ alone. This is the language of the courtroom. God justifies the repentant sinner who believes in Jesus. He moves me from guilt to acquittal. He pronounces me not guilty. He exchanges my unrighteousness for the righteousness of Christ my Savior. It's called grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Then the Bible uses the language of the marketplace. I am ransomed, redeemed from the slave market of sin by the price Jesus paid for me on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. I am moved by God himself from bondage to liberation. There is no longer a legal charge against me. I am forgiven. I am redeemed from an empty way of life by the precious blood of God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus. Now the Bible speaks of me in the language of family. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. In love, God predestined us. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, he has adopted us into his family. He moves us from rejection to acceptance. He gives us through Christ the full rights of sons and daughters in his forever family. This was his will before we were born. We receive the family name, the family inheritance, the family spirit. We have brothers and sisters all over the world. Best of all, we are placed under the fatherhood of God himself. Then you only understand salvation when you understand the language of kingdoms. Becoming a Christian, as I said earlier, is a very big deal. When you become a true Christian, a born-again Christian, you are transferred from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God's dear Son. You become, Ephesians 2:19, a fellow citizen with the saints and a member of the household of God. You are under a new king who has absolute authority in heaven and on earth. His name is Jesus. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, creator, redeemer, and sovereign. Now, transference to the kingdom of God must of necessity result in transformation. We take on the character and behavior of the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, by God's Spirit at work within us. As born-again believers in Jesus, our obedience to our new master results in a transformation into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. The change takes place in the language of community. We help each other to grow to maturity in Christ our King. We are progressing in the Christian life through participation in Christian worship and work and witness. That's why this family language, this community language of salvation, reminds us constantly that We're not independent. We're not lone rangers. We're part of God's family, part of his kingdom, part of his new community. We are a family of brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come finally to the language of agriculture. Not surprising, because Israel was an agrarian nation. When you become a Christian, you grow and bear fruit. By their fruits you shall know them, is the biblical test of authenticity. We're saved by God to bear fruit for God. Romans 7 and verse 4. Christ is the vine. In John's Gospel, we have this wonderful chapter of Jesus, the genuine vine, and we are believers. We are the branches in the genuine vine, who is Jesus. Branches that don't bear fruit are tended and pruned so that they do bear fruit. If they don't bear fruit, they have no place in the vine. Let's recap then. The authentic Christian is a person who has been called by God into fellowship with Christ. That person has been spiritually reborn. Becoming a Christian takes an invasion of the Holy Spirit of God. Nobody can call Jesus Lord authentically except through a mighty work of the Holy Spirit of God. Not only are we spiritually reborn, we are justified by God. It's just as if we'd never sinned, because God declares us righteous when we repent of our sins and put our trust in Jesus. We are ransomed. We are redeemed. We are adopted into the family of God. We are translated or transferred from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. We are being transformed by the indwelling Spirit of God, who strengthens us and sets us apart for God and his purposes. And we are positioned like a branch in the genuine vine, who is Jesus, tended by God the Father, who is the gardener. No wonder the Apostle Paul says if any person is an authentic Christian, there's a brand new creation there, a creation that is the work of God, and old things pass away, and all things become new. All of this teaching underlines, in fact, magnifies the immensity, the enormity, the wonder, the grandeur of God's great salvation. The stunning reality that salvation is not the work of man, it's not a religion, it's a relationship with God himself that is accomplished by God himself through the work of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is of the Lord. It's the work of God. We're not talking about religion here or churchianity. It has to be a work of God, friend, because God alone does the saving. And he does it through the birth and life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, then, we need to understand that the Bible describes salvation in three tenses, past, present, and future. It brings all three together in one, again and again in Scripture. We have been saved as Christ followers. We are being saved, and we shall be saved. It begins with justification. It continues in the process of sanctification, being set apart for God by faith and obedience. And it is consummated in glorification. When we see Jesus, we shall be like him. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Underlying all this is the elective purpose of a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, who knows who are his from all eternity. And all of that brings the Apostle Paul to say this to the Christians at Rome, many of whom were suffering a dreadful persecution for their faith. But the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he has this to say about the believers in Rome. If you'd like to turn to it in your Bible, I'm just busy getting there myself, in Romans chapter 8, this wonderful, wonderful passage. Paul says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, for those God foreknew. He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, that is the Lord Jesus, the first to rise bodily from the dead and be joined to God. And those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. It's as good as done in the eyes of God. Verse 31, Paul says, what shall we say then in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, says Paul, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to that word every Christian, every true Christian says, Amen and Amen. Jesus said, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. He who perseveres to the end will be saved. Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:13, Mark 13:13. The Apostle Paul says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, the Lord will give eternal life. The message is clear then. We are to persevere in faith, in holiness, in obedience, in good works, in spiritual warfare. We are to stand firm in the Lord and in his mighty power. We are to put on the full armor of God. We're in a spiritual battle. We are to make disciples. We are to build up the body of Christ. We are to shun the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We are not immune to drifting away from a full devotion to Jesus Christ, no matter who we are. We are not immune from backsliding. We will be tested, and we may well be persecuted as Christians. But if we are the Lord's, these things ought to develop our perseverance, make us stronger than ever. The Bible makes it quite clear that there will be apostate professors, those who profess to be authentic Christians but who are not, who were never possessors, even ministers, priests, and miracle workers, who will fall away. But those who are in a genuine, living, growing, fruitful relationship with Christ will be given grace to persevere to the end. So make sure that you're one of them, dear friend, and not a fake or a phony. Genuine believers are shielded by God's power through faith until the consummation of their salvation. 1 Peter 1:5. God will never forsake his people. Jesus said, John chapter 10, if you'd like to turn to that wonderful passage in the Gospel of John chapter 10, Jesus says in John chapter 10, reading verse 14 first of all, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And that word know there in the original Greek is not just a head knowledge or an academic knowledge. It is a personal experiential knowledge. It is a relationship knowledge. Just like I know my wife and my wife knows me. It's more than a head knowledge. It's a genuine relationship, deep and powerful. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Wow. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he says in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. What a wonderful definition of a true Christian. A true Christian is one who listens to the voice of Jesus, who knows Jesus personally and who is following Jesus. And Jesus says, I give them eternal life. I have given them and I am giving them. And they shall never perish. They shall never perish, the words of Jesus. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. Literally, we are one in this saving, keeping purpose. So friends, God himself will keep us strong to the end. I am weak, but he is strong. By the grace of God, I've been following Jesus since October 1958, and here I am in my 81st year, and how come I'm here? By the grace of God. The God who saves me holds on to me and keeps me. And as I experience my trust in him daily, I experience his keeping power. The Lord is my keeper, says the psalmist, and every true believer can say the same. The one who called me into fellowship with his Son is faithful, and he will do it. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God who called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, will do it. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ. The Apostle John says those who depart from the fellowship of believers show that they were never truly part of the fellowship of believers. 1 John 2:19, they went out from among us, but they were never really part of us. Their profession was not a faith act, it was a fake act. Satan would love to sift us like wheat, as he desired to sift the Apostle Peter. But Jesus said, Peter, I've prayed for you, and when you turned again, strengthened your brothers. God holds the sieve, only the chaff will be blown away. So make your calling and election sure, the Apostle Peter says, by adding to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and brotherly kindness and love, and if you keep on doing this, he says you will never fall. Best of all, friends, Jesus is praying for you that your faith will not fail. So in the final analysis, God himself is the judge of those who are his genuine children, and so let's leave the difficult cases and questions to him. Agreed? God is the judge. It's not our part to judge others as to whether they are authentic or not, or whether they have fallen away and have lost their salvation. The Bible teaches that the grace of God is ours from first to last, from beginning to end, that nothing and no one will ever separate us from his great love in Jesus, and that we're kept by the power of God for that salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, and that he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. Salvation is God's work. Salvation is of the Lord, from first to last. And the kingdom of God stands secure, the Bible says, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. The question today is, do you know him? And does he know you? Can you say, I'm his, and he is mine, forever? Here's the big issue for those of us who love the Lord. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be condemned. The Christian will not be condemned, Romans 8:28, Romans 8:1, there's already now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the old nature of the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but we will all stand as Christians before the judgment seat of Christ one day, not to receive condemnation, but affirmation, and to receive rewards, to receive crowns. The Bible speaks of a number of crowns that believers will be given for faithful service, but it also warns of the tragic possibility of suffering dreadful loss, not the loss of our salvation, but the loss of reward, the loss of what we could have had if we had been faithful and persevered to the end in faith and in good works. The Apostle John reminds us of the words of Jesus, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Hebrews 11 and verse 6, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We don't deserve rewards, but one day God in his amazing grace and kindness is going to reward believers for their service. In the letter to the Hebrews and chapter 10, verse 35, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. The writer says, we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe to the end and are saved. The authentic Christian cannot lose his salvation, at least I don't believe so. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. But he can suffer dreadful loss at the judgment seat of Christ if he's not been faithful. So God help us to be faithful to the very end. As we trust in the Lord, the Apostle Paul brings those two things together, God's divine perseverance and our perseverance as well. When he writes to the Philippians saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As we trust in the Lord, as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, as we run with perseverance and patience the particular race that God has set each one of us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, so the Holy Spirit empowers us and enables us to be faithful to the very end. And so let me close by quoting again the Apostle Peter's words in his second letter and chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there again in your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God does not allow us to think that everything depends on us. The grace of God means there is grace every moment of every day, and that God will help us to persevere to the end, strengthened with all power by his Holy Spirit in our innermost being. We rejoice in the assurance of salvation, past, present, and future. Will all the saints persevere to the end? Yes, by the grace of God. By the grace of God, all authentic saints, those who truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ, by the grace of God will persevere to the end. Allow me to close by quoting some lovely old hymns. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his, and he is mine. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine, since I know as I know, I am his, and he is mine. His forever, only his. Who the Lord and me shall part? Oh, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline. But while God and I shall be, I am his, and he is mine. Another hymn writer writes this, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days, before his face I see. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with him or meet him in the air, but I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What a wonderful blessing to have the assurance of everlasting life. Do you have that assurance today that you are truly a child of God? Shall we pray? Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank you for your word that is so full of great and precious promises, and we thank you for the promise of eternal life to all who trust in Jesus, that you so loved the world, so loved each one of us, that you gave your one and only Son so that believing in him we would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so help us to continue with enthusiasm, with the inspiration and enabling of the Holy Spirit, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to lay aside every encumbrance and sin that would cling to us so easily and trip us up. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you that he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. Thank you, Father, for your great salvation, past, present, and future. We give you all the glory. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
When peace like a yeah.